శ్రీ గురు శ్రీయుత పదకమలం శ్రీ గురుం వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగర జాతం సగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం సం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగత్పతి గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే సప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగే రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామే గౌరకృషే నమః వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామీతి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యదేశకారిణే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శివాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
Today we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 5th Chapter, The Cause of All Causes, Texts 35 and 36. So in this particular chapter, Narada Muni starts off with a lot of inquiries to Brahmaji. And there is a series of inquiries which finally leads to Narada Muni asking about who is the Supreme. Who is the supreme cause of all causes, as the title of the chapter also rightly says. So Brahmaji is very pleased with the inquiries of Narada Muni, which are in sincere mood and in submission. So naturally when we inquire from our spiritual master, we should also adopt the same mood of inquiry and submission. And then the spiritual master will reveal all that is necessary for us. So that's exactly what Narada Muni is doing in this chapter, and that's what he is teaching us also. And then Brahmaji starts off by glorifying the Supreme Lord in a series of prayers. That's also the way of Acharyas, they first glorify. So Bhagavatam is also a pool of prayers before they actually start responding to the questions. So then Brahmaji explains that indeed Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes, and he is just a secondary creator. So then up to verses 33, we've seen the different material creation, how the creation happens from Pradhana to Mahatattva and all the gross and the subtle elements come into existence. And starting from the previous verse, which Srila Prabhupada nicely explained, it starts out by explaining how the Lord enters into each universe and then animates the universes and creates all the variegatedness. So these two verses that we are discussing today is continuation of the previous verse. And now also in this verse we see the mention about the Virat Roop of the universal form. And Prabhupada nicely explains, puts everything into perspective in the next verse. But that's how we are looking at the next verse also. That what is this universal form? So the key points in this verse are the true conception of the universal form for us as practicing devotees. What do we understand from the universal form? Because generally speaking, universal form is something that is not very attractive to devotees. But at the same time, the reason why it is in Bhagavatam is because it's very important for the devotional service. And that we understand the universal form in its correctness. And the second point, the most important point in this verse, is in the last line of the purport, so verse 36. That ultimately the Supreme Lord is cognizant or conscious of every part of the creation and He is in complete control. That is the most, that's the essence of these two verses actually. So Dhiti Prabhu yesterday when he called me, he is unfortunately not able to be here today. So he called me and he stressed on this point that this is the key point to be discussed in this verse. That He is in complete control. So I was quite bewildered when He called me, Prabhu, can you please take the class tomorrow? Then I immediately was thinking, oh, I have to prepare, I have to do so much. Then when I read this verse, everything is clear. Ultimately the Lord is the controller. You are nothing. You are just pawns. You are just pawns, puppet. You are just puppets in the hands of the puppet master. So I always think that I am doing. In devotional service also, Guru Maharaj always says that don't think that you are doing anything. Any service that is given to you, it's not that you are doing it. You know, it's Krishna's mercy that He is allowing you to do. But everything comes from Krishna. He empowers you. The Guru empowers you. He simply becomes an instrument. An effective. The only thing you can do is you can become an effective instrument. It's not a blunt instrument. It's just an effective instrument. That's the only thing that we can do. So that background and perspective, let's look at the verse. So, as I said, the two points are the conception of the universal form and the Lord being in complete control. So let's look at this universal form in a bit more detail. Now in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, I request Krishna to please display the universal form. It is not that he wanted to see the universal form. As we have seen in the Bhagavad Gita discussions also, when we covered the 11th chapter, it is basically that Arjuna wanted that in future, many, especially in India and Kali Yuga, there are so many incarnations of God in every nook and corner of India. So, Arjuna asked this question so that in the future, when you have such self-proclaimed incarnations, one must be knowledgeable enough to know what are the qualities exhibited by the Lord when He is manifesting His earthly pastime. This universal form, as Prabhupada explains, is not an eternal form. It is a material form, so to speak. The Lord is obviously spiritual, but He assumes this universal form only for the less intelligent people like us, so that we can conceive of something. Conceive of His all-pervasive nature. That's the most important thing for us. The universal form for devotees means He is Vasudeva, Sarvam Iti. He is all-pervading. That is the point that we must extract from this universal conception of the Lord, universal form of the Lord, Virat Rupa. Apart from the fact that, you know, in the 11th chapter we obviously see that there are so many descriptions, so much of graphic description of there in the universal form. That Arjuna sees all the, he's devouring everything. He sees everything within the universal form, all demigods, everything, the whole creation. So the point that Prabhupada makes in one of the purports to Bhagavatam, that Krishna exhibited the Virat Rupa. Krishna was not exhibited by the Virat Rupa. This is a very important point. Please repeat. It was Krishna who exhibited the Virat Rupa. It was not that Krishna was exhibited by the Virat Rupa. Common understanding until Prabhupada gave us his books is that we always thought that Krishna was subordinate to the universal form. Because the general conception among impersonalists and you know, all the other philosophies apart from Vaishnava philosophy is that when the Lord appears in earth, He assumes a material form. He is also covered by Maya, like us. That's because we as insignificant entities, we cannot think of anything beyond our purview. You know, my Guru Maharaj was giving an example. We were sitting in a room, Maharaj was giving a class. Maharaj said, in this room, there are a lot of ants moving around. And when they move from one corner to the other, they think that that's the end of the world. You know, for them that's the conception. They cannot see anything beyond. Same way, we also think whatever we see around us, that's it. There cannot be anything more than that. We are the supreme. That's our conception. So when we see Krishna or God appearing and manifesting his pastimes, we always assume that he is a human. Arjananti maam mudha manushim tanam ashrita. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, that Arjananti maam mudha. They don't know, because they are mudhas, they are fools. They think that I am an ordinary human being. They don't know my, I am a Parameshwara, I am a Supreme Lord. But at the same time, Krishna chooses to whom he should reveal. He doesn't reveal to anyone and everyone, because it's covered by Yogamaya potency. Maham Patakam Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavajaha. I am covered for us, those who are non-believers or non-devotees. I don't reveal myself. And what is the way to reveal? That also Krishna says, Adhya Sri Krishna Namadhi Na Bhavet Grahyam Indriyani Seva Mukehi Jeevadav Svayam Eva Spuratyada. Only by service, only by devotional service, can Krishna reveal himself, because he is pleased. And what do you mean by devotional service? That again comes back to the Tadvikti Pranipatena. When we serve a pure devotee, because we don't have the qualification to serve the Lord directly, when we serve a pure devotee, Lord, everyone is a pure devotee except yourself, ourselves. When we serve devotees, through the medium of service to devotees, Krishna will reveal himself. That is the only way. So service is also, we are sitting and talking here, discussing about Krishna. This is also devotional service. When we hear, when we speak, glorification. Yat kirtanam, yat shravanam, yat arhanam. No, that verse is in Bhagavatam. So this is the process of hearing, this is the process of glorification. Glorification includes everything. Talking about Krishna, kirtan, hearing about him, discourses, bhajan, everything is included in glorification. Because the whole purpose of devotional service is to glorify the Lord. That's why the scriptures are basically divided into two categories, or not categories, contain two subject matters. One is all about glorification of the Lord and his devotees. And the other matter is how to change our behavior. Once, so all the subject matter is, one subject matter is to glorify the Lord. So we know Lord's true glories. Once we know Lord's true glories, then we have to put it into practice in our life. So that we can actually implement that in our life by carrying out a direct service and glorify the Lord. So there are two parts, even Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, everything. One part is glorification, the other part is actually change of our behavior. So the Guru Maharaj always emphasized that unless we put Bhagavatam into practice, it just becomes a philosophical discussion. Nothing beyond that. So the Lord is very merciful. He manifests this universal form for the lesser intelligent people who don't have any conception beyond the material conception. So Prabhupada writes that impersonalists generally are into three categories. There is something called ahangropasana, which means they think I am God, I am supreme, so they worship themselves. So Prabhupada says if you have a little bit of intelligence, you can see, you worship yourself. When you go out in the street, nobody is looking at me. Nobody is even bothering to look at me. What kind of a God I am? So when you think like that, then you realize that actually am I God? Or am I just an ordinary living entity? Because I don't see any difference between me and others. So is God so cheap that he is so commonplace? So when one starts thinking like that, he realizes that he is not God. Then he comes to the conception that, oh, God is everywhere. He is everywhere. He is in the pillar, he is in the, stone, everything. So then that becomes pantheism. So worship any good God or anyone, and then you reach Krishna, then you reach ultimate destination. So all roads lead to the same destination. This is the other conception. And of course, the other one is the universal form itself, worship of the universal form. Because everything is completely materialistic. The thinking is entirely materialistic. So this is how Prabhupada says that impersonal is worship. But nevertheless, that's also a platform for them to eventually get purified and come to the personal conception. So Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya Maam, Krishna says also, Bhaktya Maam Adhijanati. The direct way to perceive the Lord is through bhakti, devotional service. All other roads are indirect means. And indirect means is not that it will be efficient. No. It will take many, 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 many births. Bhavanam Janmana Mante, Jnanavan Maam Prapadyate. After many, 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 many births, one who is in knowledge, he will surrender. So Prabhupada says that intelligent person is none who immediately surrenders. So he says that devotional service is easy, at the same time very difficult. Easy for one who is intelligent, because he immediately surrenders. Difficult for one who thinks that, no, I have to find out on my own, I have to do my own inquiries, search, then I will finally get convinced. Then Prabhupada says, then you keep taking many books, till you come to that point. So it's easy at the same time difficult. So when we see all the scriptures, we should come to the conclusion that all these great authorities, you know, Vyasadeva has compiled so many verses. You know, even today in India, all the generation, our generation, they think that it's all mythology. But if you think, if you look carefully, why would somebody spend so much time compiling millions and millions of verses? Not just for fun, or not just, you know, for killing time. There is a purpose behind that, and it's specifically meant for Kaliyuga, that we follow the scriptures and implement them in life. Though there are different methods given in Vedic scriptures, you know. It's like 95-96% of Vedic scriptures or Vedas is about karma tanda. It's only that 5-6% it is not karma kanda, but within that also there are divisions like jnana kanda and upasana kanda. Jnana kanda is the method of inquiry, then bhavanam vandana mantra, you take many last times. Upasana kanda, within upasana kanda also there is pantheism and, you know, different types of worship. And within that upasana kanda, a very small portion is actually dedicated to the worship of Supreme Lord. Because it's those who worship the Supreme Lord is indeed a rare species. That's why it's only a very small portion of the Vedic scriptures is dedicated to worship of the Supreme Lord. Because everyone goes everywhere else, because we have the minute independence to do whatever we want. So that's why all these different paths are given, so that one may gradually get purified and eventually come to the worship of the Supreme Lord. That is what we should understand from this universal form. One is in Vyasadevan Sarvamiti, he is there everywhere, he is all pervading. So if he is all pervading, then we should know that he has complete control. And then we should come to the point of surrender to the Lord. Because he is the only one who can protect us. We will see that a bit later also. That's why Prabhupada writes this in this purport, second purport, imaginary. Very nice word, and he's emphasized that also. It's imaginary because it's not eternal. It's only a temporary conception, Virat Roop. In the spiritual world, there's nothing like Virat Roop. Virat Roop is manifested only for those conditioned living entities in the material world. That's why it's imaginary. That's why Prabhupada makes this mention of it. A nice example is given, when Lord Krishna wound up his pastimes, it said in, I think it is in 3rd canto, 4th chapter, 29th verse, 3-4-29. So it says, Prabhupada also writes in the purport, and the verse says, Krishna gave up his universal form. Says, Takshan Deham. Takshan means giving up. Deham means universal. Prabhupada translates Deham as universal form for Virat Roop. Krishna cannot give up his eternal form. It's not possible because he and his eternal form are the same. He's absolute. So he is giving up universal form, which means it's something that is temporary. We should be very careful when we say give up. Give up out of his own will. It's not like we. We don't give up out of our will. We are forced to give up. But Krishna gives up out of his own sweet will. He gives up the material form or so-called material form. And then, so that's why it is not an eternal form. That's why Prabhupada wants to emphasize that this Virat Roop is not an eternal form. And one nice example also Prabhupada writes, gives, is this concept of adjective and subject. Adjective is used to qualify the subject, like a good person or a bad person. But if you take out the adjective, good or bad, the person remains. It's not that the person loses existence, right? The person remains even if you remove the adjective. Same way, the Virat Roop when Krishna gives up is just a qualification. If he gives up the eternal form, the two-handed form always remains. And that is his true form. And that's what devotees or Vaishnavas should understand. That behind all this manifestation of the universal form lies the true form of the Lord. And we should not, you know, normally the materialistic thinking, we always look at the immediate cause. What we see within our vision, we accept as truth. So we don't go beyond. The Narada Muni is showing here that he went beyond Brahmaji. Brahmaji was the immediate cause for the secondary creation. He went beyond as a true Vaishnava or a philosopher. true philosopher. He inquired beyond, but in a submission. That's why the truth was revealed to him. He didn't challenge Brahmaji. He said, no, you are not the supreme. No way. I want to go further. No. He submissively inquired from Brahmaji that who is the supreme. So that's how we must understand too. We must always, you know, on the basis of Shastras, try to find out what is the absolute truth. So once, so that's the personal perfection, which means we know that the personal form of Krishna is the supreme, and he is the origin of also the universal form. And in prefix state of Bhagavatam, it's said very nicely, the gigantic universal form is the first incarnation of the super soul. This is a very interesting verse. We just saw that it's an imaginary form, but nevertheless Krishna assumes this form out of mercy for the living entities. Just like when you worship, when you deity worship, Krishna manifests himself as Archa Vigraha. Because we don't have the senses to see the Lord, so he manifests himself as Archa form, so that we can offer service to the Lord. Though apparently the form is material made of stone or whatever, wood, but we must never conceive it of as just stone, because it's Vigraha. That's why it's called Archa Vigraha. Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha. So the Archa Vigraha is also Satchidananda Vigraha, though apparently it's made of material elements. So this is how we must relate to the Lord. So, as I said, he was the first, gigantic universal form is the first incarnation of the super soul. So, how do we know what is the super soul? We know from Bhagavatam that Krishna first expands into Baldev, then the Baldev expands into Sankarshan, then Sankarshan expands into Narayan, Narayan. Then from that Narayan, you have second Sankarshan, then from second Sankarshan, you have Mahavishnu, who is Karamadakshaya Vishnu. Then from Karamadakshaya Vishnu, you have Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Then you have Shirodakshaya Vishnu. The Shirodakshaya Vishnu is the super soul, who is sitting in our heart. And this expansion of Shirodakshaya Vishnu is the universal form, or the Virat Roop. So we know that originally Krishna and portions of the expansion finally leads to super soul and then the Virat Roop. So we must not stop at the Virat Roop and say that's all in all. No. We must go beyond and see what is the original source of everything. The Prabhupada gives the example of immediate cause. Gives the example of scorpions. Scorpions lay their eggs in rice, in heaps of rice. I don't know whether you have seen, but in India, it's quite common to see when you go to the godowns in the warehouses, you see heaps of rice sacks and you can see scorpions, scorpion eggs inside that. So the scorpions lay their eggs in the rice. So one must not wrongly conclude that the rice is, because of the rice, and the rice is the cause of the scorpion. Right? So it's a foolish conception, because we see that from the rice, the eggs are being hatched, the scorpions are coming out. The rice is not the cause. Right? Same way, Prabhupada also writes that when you feed haze to the cow, milk is produced. So haze is not the cause. Haze is not the cause of the milk. Right? Again, it's very foolish to think that the haze is the cause of the milk. You know what is the cause. That way, you must never be taken in by all these philosophies that we come across, apart from Srila Prabhupada's books. You must never be misdirected. That's why the Guru Maharaj always says, never look Srila Prabhupada. Always be Srila Prabhupada. Even if you can't read Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, carry a small book of Srila Prabhupada always with you. And he will always protect us. The other nice point that the Guru Maharaj is saying that devotees, those who are seriously practicing devotional service, have never touched the illusory energy of the Lord. And normally when you go to India, you hear about this ghosts and tantrics and black magic and white magic and all that. So those who are chanting Mahamantra or chanting the shloka from Bhagavatam, these subtle entities of ghosts can never touch them. So Maharaj said that wherever Prabhupada went, there were no subtle entities or no ghosts at all, because he was such a pure devotee. And he was always chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So by taking shelter of the Lord through his transcendental names, we can never be affected by the illusory energy. But because we like the faith, because we don't chant the holy name, we don't see the Lord as being non-different from his name. You don't have a faith, that's why you're affected. But the fault lies with us, not with the holy names, or not with the process. It's faultless. Fault lies only with us. This is what we must understand. So with this we go to the next point of the verse. The Supreme Lord is all cognizant and is in complete control. So Prabhupada writes in the last line of the purport. There are different evidences from Shastras to prove that Krishna is supreme. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu. Then Arjuna quotes Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. Then he also quotes other authorities who said the same thing, like Achita, Devala, Vyasa. Then Brahmaji says in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Paramam Krishna. So everywhere in Puranas and Upanishads, this fact is established clearly that the Supreme Lord Krishna is the source of everything. He is the Supreme. And in Bhagavad Gita 7.7 also Krishna says, Mattah Parataram Nanyat Kimchit Ashti Dhananjaya Mai Sarva Mudam Protam Supre Maniganarva. So he says that there is nothing beyond me. I am the last word in absolute truth as Bhagavan. In first verse of Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadeva says Abhijna and Swarat to describe Krishna. Krishna, these two qualities can be attributed only to Krishna. Because we see around us, nobody is Abhijna and nobody is Swarat. Abhijna means fully cognizant. Nobody is even partially cognizant. Because in the material world, without the words, maybe, perhaps, could be, we cannot survive. Every second of our life, we use these words. At least I use all the time. Because I'm not sure. No, even when I go to my office and people ask me something, whether this is okay, because I'm the software line, so they keep asking me. I can never say for sure whether this is correct or not. So I say maybe, could be, let's see, maybe test it out and see. So we're never sure of even insignificant things in the material duties. So what to speak of being fully cognizant of everything. This cognizant word itself is only applicable only to Krishna, because it means fully knowledgeable. So one so this comes from the point that he knows every part of his creation. So Prabhupada gives the example of the owner of an establishment or a firm, who directly knows through his, because he is the owner, and indirectly knows through his subordinates or people working for him. Same way Krishna directly knows everything, as well as indirectly knows through his expansions, through his agents. He knows each and every nook and corner of the creation. And he is also Swarat. He is fully independent. He is the cause of everything. He is the origin of everything. He does not have a cause, because he himself is the cause. So which means he is fully independent. So these two attributes can be associated only with Lord Krishna and no one else. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the first verse of Bhagavatam, I will read it out. The impersonalist, those who don't trust Krishna, the impersonalist undergoes severe austerities to acquire knowledge, to become one with the Lord. Because they are also trying to become the Lord, which means they are trying to become Avijna and Swarat. But ultimately they become dependent on some rich disciple who supplies them with money to build monasteries and temples. So one who is in a quest of becoming independent, finally becomes dependent on some rich disciple. Because they fall down and they have to take up some duties. Then Prabhupada gives example of Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, the famous demons, who thought that they could conquer everything, including death. But ultimately they were captured by death in the form of Lord Krishna in his incarnation. And they could not save themselves. So again comes back to the point that ultimately the Supreme Lord Krishna is the only one who is Abhijna and Swarat. And we know that his creation is perfect. Nothing in this creation is imperfect. It is complete. Purnamadam, Purnam, Purnamadam. Everything that he is complete and whatever comes out of him is also complete. And there is nothing imperfect in this creation. For example, if you look at the trees around us, there are so many trees producing different kinds of fruits. Never has it happened that one tree is supposed to produce a fruit has produced some other fruit. Like in our creation, everything is imperfect. In a mango tree, you will never find an apple fruit. Mango tree will always produce mango fruit. And only and that was a particular season, perfectly at that time. So everything is so nicely controlled and coordinated. And this is only possible by someone who is Abhijna and Swarat. And not by someone who is under the control of external or internal energy. So which means nobody can approach the intelligence of the Lord. He is supremely intelligent. So the point I am trying to make is that after knowing all these things, what are we supposed to do? Then we just discuss this, feel happy about it. Okay, I am not so intelligent, the Lord is intelligent, so what? We have to translate this, as I said earlier, in our behavior. How do we do that? So we must understand that we are absolutely, completely no control of anything. Even to lift our hand, we can't do it on our own. We need, because the demigods are administering all the parts of the body. The 12 demigods are administering all the parts of the body. So interfaith is responsible for hands. So even without his approval, we cannot even lift our hands. Not to speak of doing anything. Every second of our existence, we are controlled. We are dependent. And Sri Govardhan Devi is nicely telling me about the 12 witnesses of Krishna. The 12 CIDs. The 12 agents of the Lord. The nice way to remember that. So faith as witness. These are the first letters of those 12 agents. So nice way to remember. Faith as witness. So we take the first letters of each, you will get the 12. I don't remember all of them, but if you take like F is fire, like that. Faith as witness. So all the 12 agents are constantly controlling us. So we are being watched at every moment. You should not think that, oh, I'm inside my house, I'm inside my room, I can do whatever I want. Nobody is there to see. Devotees are not there, spiritual master is not there, dentists are not there, I can do whatever I want. No. We are always under the complete watch. So, nothing, we are not at all independent of anything. So once you know this, that we are watched, we have to watch our behavior, we have to change our behavior, we have to improve our behavior. Like what we behave in the association of devotees, it should not be an artificial thing. It should be a natural thing that we do everywhere else. No, it should come very naturally. It should become a second nature. So once we come to this understanding that the Lord is supreme and we are actually nothing, then the only option for us, or the only option for anyone, but the one who is intelligent will take to this immediately, is to surrender to the Lord. The Lord says in 7:14 of Bhagavad Gita, So only by surrendering to me can you cross over this material nuisance or the material ocean. Otherwise it's not possible. So all these points come to that conclusion that the Lord is supreme. There is a nice pastime which is that Mahabharata that establishes the supremacy of the Lord, or that he is in complete control. Before the Mahabharata war started, the Pandavas and the Kauravas, they were looking to other kings or those who want to participate in the war, which side they will be on. So they approached the king of Udupi. King of Udupi, he wanted to know which side he will be participating in. He said, the king said that I don't want to be on any one side, but I will serve Prasadam to everyone at the end of the day, this battle. So that was his duty. Sorry, I'm not feeling very comfortable sitting. So he said that I will serve Prasadam at the end of day's battle to everyone. So that's my duty, seva. So every day he obviously had a kitchen of all the cooks and everything. So every day he used to go and tell the cooks, cook this much amount of prasadam. And that used to be exactly what was required at the end of each day. Though in a war you know that the number keeps changing because people are killed and the number keeps reducing. But somehow or the other, the king used to manage and used to tell exactly the same amount of prasadam that was cooked, it was required for that particular day. So Pandavas were very baffled, how is it possible? So they went and asked the king. So king said that every day I am serving prasadam, so I am serving the Lord also, Lord Shri Krishna. So when I make pudding, or when the cooks make pudding, so there are a lot of peanuts added to the pudding, and dry fruits and all that. So I watch the Lord closely. The Lord is eating peanuts. Every day he eats peanuts on the pudding. So I see how many peanuts he's eating. So keep track of how many peanuts he's eating. And from that I get a clue how many soldiers are going to die the next day. So each peanut stands for a few thousand soldiers. So that many soldiers times the number of peanuts will tell me exactly how many soldiers are going to die. So how much prasadam I have to cook less the next day. So the Pandavas were completely baffled. They went and told Lord Krishna, we are fighting every day. We are fighting so much. We are doing so much, using all our strength. But ultimately you are the one who is deciding exactly how many people are going to die. So this shows, that we are not doing anything. Nothing at all. Whatever service we are getting, we are simply, obeying. Just obey and do. So spiritual master says, or the senior devotees, or any devotee says, we just obey. And once you have that obedience, then Krishna will give us. Krishna doesn't need anything. I mean, he can do everything. But still he allows us to do something. Like a small child for his father. There's an example Prabhupada writes that the child is trying to lift a heavy weight. He can't do it, but the father helps him. And it appears that the child is lifting the weight. This is exactly our situation. We are not capable of doing anything. Krishna only does everything. I mean, even the external energy Krishna controls, then what to speak of the internal energy? Devotional service is completely under his control, or in the internal potency. So he directly gets involved. Not only his energies, I mean, he directly gets involved when it comes to devotional service. So personally, he takes care of us. So whatever service we do, actually he is doing it. But we simply think that we think that we are doing it. Okay? So this pastime is very nice to tell us that. One more story, I can't remember. About the Lord's creation, how perfect it is. There was once a discussion in a class. So they were discussing about seven wonders of the world. So everybody came up with all these fancy things like Taj Mahal, hanging gardens and all that, the usual seven wonders that we learn. So there was one girl who was very quiet, she was very shy, and she was not able to write anything. And when everyone said all these things, more or less, everyone else told all these creations of man. But she was actually very closely keeping her notes, and the teacher wanted to see what it is. And what she wrote is very nice. She said, seven wonders are to see, to hear, to touch, to taste, to feel, to laugh, and to love. Actually, all this is coming from Krishna. So nothing that is created by man can be a wonder. Everything that is created by the Lord is a wonder. Even our sense of seeing, touching, everything is so wondrous. We take it for granted, but actually it is so wondrous. We just get the right amount of light to go in our eyes to see everything. And after the purpose itself, then when it is dark, we cannot see anything. So just what is required is given to us. So it's so wonderful. So in conclusion, again, the two points, the universal form, what is the true relevance of the universal form for us as practicing devotees? So where the Lord is all-pervading and He is in complete control, we are being watched at every moment. So we have to change our behavior. We have to change our behavior to please the Lord, naturally. The Lord doesn't need to be pleased because He is self-satisfied, but yet He accepts this small effort of His children pleasing Him, just like a loving father does. So I'll just sing, with the permission of all Vaishnavas, I'll just sing a small prayer that my Guru Maharaj taught us that captures the essence of this verse actually. We'll try to repeat. Shri Krishna Sharanam. Samasta Jagata Krishna Vina Kagati Krishna Pratihanyate Kalimalam Krishna Yakaryam Namaha. Krishna Pras ಸ್ಥಿರಯತಿ ಕಾಲ ಭೀಮ ಭುಜಗೋ ಸ್ಯತಿ ಕಾಲ ಭೀಮ ಭುಜ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಂ ವಶೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಅಖಂಡಿತ ಭವತು ಮೇ ಭೋ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಭೋ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ತ್ವಮೇವ ಆಶ್ರಯಃ ವೆರಿ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್ ಸೇ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಶರಣಂ ಸಮಸ್ತ ಜಗತಾಂ ಈಸ್ ದ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಅಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ಟು ಹೋಮ್ ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸರೆಂಡರ್ ಸಮಸ್ತ ಜಗತಾಂ ಆಲ್ ದ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲರ್ ಸೊ ವಿನ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಸರೆಂಡರ್ ಟು ಹಿಮ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಟ್ರೂ ಶರಣಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ವಿನಾ ಕಾ ಗತಿ ವಿದೌಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಅದರ್ ವೇ We cannot, we can go here and there, everywhere, but ultimately we have to come to Krishna. There is no other way for us. Krishna pradihanyate kalimalam. Only Krishna can destroy the contamination of Kali Yuga. Only Krishna can destroy the contamination of Kali Yuga, no one else. And that's why, whatever Krishna does, we offer obeisances, even whatever activities, whatever, even if he steals the butter, or even if he does anything that to our eyes may seem insignificant, we still offer obeisances. If you go and steal butter, we know what's going to happen. But when Krishna steals butter, he's glorified, he's glorified. So any activity of his is transcendental, so we always bow down to his acts. Krishna karyam namaha. Krishna above. Krishna, Krishnasya sarvam vashe. Everything is in his control. You know, Vishnudev also nicely says in Bhagavatam, what is it verse? Tasmadidam Daiva Tantram. He says, he tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, no, we all have gone through so much of injustice and so much of pains, but ultimately it is all under the plan of the Lord. And no one can know the plan of the Lord. Great philosophers, they can go on speculating endlessly, but they will never know the plan of the Lord. So, if you can never know the plan of the Lord, you simply have to submit to his plan. That is the most intelligent thing to do. Instead of trying to find out what his plan is, you have to submit to his plan. So that's what Vishnudev is telling Vishnu Maharaj. Don't worry about all this. Don't speculate. Just surrender and submit to his plan. And carry on with your duties. Same way, same thing Narada Muni also tells, you know, about his mother. When his mother was bitten by the snake, when Narada Muni says that Ishasihi Vasham Loko Yosha Daru Nai Yatha. He was simply a puppet in the hand of a puppet master. He is the one who is controlling everything. So all these Mahajanas are telling us, teaching us by their example, and we have to simply follow them. Mahajana Yena Gata Sapantaha. We should simply follow Mahajanas, whatever they do. Don't imitate but follow. Then next line is Krishna Bhakti Akhandita Bhavatuni. So after knowing all this, we pray that we may have uninterrupted bhakti at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, as he is our only shelter. Krishna Tvam Eva Ashrayaha. Tvam Eva Ashrayaha. You are the only shelter. You are not one of the shelters. You are the only shelter. Eva Ashrayaha. That is the last line. This is the most important. So with this I will conclude here. Any corrections or comments, please? Sorry, I just remembered one more pastime, nice. This to prove the point that the devotees are always protected from the illegal energy. Then, you know, Bhima, Pandavas, when they were going along with Kauravas, naturally Duryodhana and his party were always envious of Bhima, because he was very strong. So as children, when they were playing, all these Kauravas, they all used to climb the trees, take the fruits. And Bhima was so strong that he would go and shake the trees. And all of them would fall along with the fruits. The Kauravas also fell down. So this Duryodhana especially was very, very envious. And every opportunity he wanted to take to, you know, to prove himself or to avenge. Shruti Grivans and Bhima. So as he grew up, actually he knew, Dhritarashtra knew that Bhima was very fond of food. So he thought of using a trick to actually use food to do something to Bhima. So one day he decided to go for a picnic for all the Pandavas and the Kauravas. And they had a lot of games, playing around and all that. So Bhima was very tired. So naturally when he was tired, he was very hungry. So Dhritarashtra took the opportunity to go to him and said, "Brother, I have got something very nice prepared for you. Please eat." And naturally, he had put poison and all that, poison cake. Bhima did not think too much because he was really very hungry. So he did not even bother that Dhritarashtra was offering. He just took a knife. After that, slowly the poison started acting, and he became unconscious after a while. So Duryodhana was not happy by just making him unconscious. He really wanted to get rid of him. So he tied a rope around his waist and put a stone in one hand and slowly, gently rolled him off to a lake. So naturally, Bhima was sinking, going down. So when he was going down, there were a lot of snakes at the riverbed. Very poisonous snakes. So when they saw this huge thing coming down, they all went and started biting Bhima. But look at the wonderful activity of the Lord, how the Lord protects. Because of the poison of the snake got mixed with the poison inside, they all got neutralized. Everything got neutralized and he came back to his normal. He woke up. He became conscious again. But just see how beautifully the Lord took care of Bhima. If he had left him alone, if he had not put him in the lake, maybe something would have happened. But he made sure that Duryodhana put him in the water. The snakes bit him. The poison got neutralized. Not only that, then the snakes, they took Bhima to the king of Nagas. And he was very pleased to see Bhima because he had already heard about the Pandavas, how tired they were. So he met Bhima and he said, I have to give you something. You have come to us for the first time. But Bhima said, "I don't need anything. I have got everything for the grace of Lord." But he said, "No, you still must accept something." So he gave him elixir. Elixir means something like an amrit. Or, the ads we see here, they have power and energy. So he gave him an elixir. And because of the elixir, he became more powerful than what he was earlier. So just see, not only he got completely rectified, but he got more power than what he had initially. So this is how the Lord takes care of the devotee. So we must always, always, always have faith that Krishna will protect us in any circumstances. So thank you. श्रीमद् भागवतम की श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्री गुरुदेव की जनता गौर
प्रकाश प्रभु जी की
श्रील प्रभुपाद की।